I promise. I knew that it was bring a friend to church, and I invited people. I haven't seen any of the people I invited, but I made the invitation. So I'm doing my part. I'm stepping out. It might have been through Facebook. I might have had a couple of conversations at work. The effort's there. I'm trying. So have you noticed a theme with the music this morning? I stand here this morning grateful and thankful, and there's a long story behind it, and that's what you get to hear today. For those of you who were here last week, Kay gave a summary of the conference we went to and encouraged us all to share our stories. And this week, I've been struggling with where to start the story. So I decided to start and end the story with people. This is our prayer team. Pastor Becky, on that side, went to Australia as a missionary for God through Encounter Missions International, the missionary branch of the Glory Center, where we went to the conference. She went to plant and raise an inclusive church. She's been there for 7 years of ups and downs, and her church continues to grow. Pastor Janet, on the other end, many of you know because she comes to our retreat most years. I think she's missed one. She's the EMI pastor to the pastors, though she's on several different conference calls every month, listening to, caring for, and encouraging pastors in the field. She talks to Taiwan and Australia. I'm not sure if she takes the Mexico City calls, but it's constant care all the time, and she spends a lot of time in prayer. And of course, there's us in the middle just because we're part of the team. We were blessed this year to be at the same place at the same time. Scheduling and finances don't always allow our team to have real face-to-face time. And we got to spend the weekend together. We got to hear all of Pastor Becky's story of being called and getting sent to Australia. We got to hear Pastor Janet's story, kind of her life story, how she got to be where she is now. And it was amazing. We've never heard it all in one go. I think she talked for an hour and a half, solid, with just a couple of small interruptions. And we got to listen and hear the story and share in that with her. And in 10 years, we've never heard that. We met them both 10 years ago. It's been an incredible journey. Last week, Kay mentioned that we save up for All Nations Gathering, and we plan on going every year. There was supposed to be one last year, but since there was no conference last year, we took our reservation for a 2-bedroom condo and upgraded to a 3-bedroom presidential. It was a fancy condo, and I still think it was bigger than our house. I was walking around the house, and I was like, you know, I think that bathroom was as big as our kitchen. It was crazy. It was really big and it was really nice. So we had the king master bedroom, we had a king second bedroom, and then 2 twins and 3 bathrooms. So there was no shortage of showers and time for people to get ready. After we got the email that gave the dates for the conference this year, we started to pester our prayer team. Are you going to go? Do you plan on going? We have extra space. You can stay with us. It's already paid for, because it was. Conference got closer. They both decided to make the trip, and we were going to have a house full because that guy was going with us too, or joining us. We drive separately, but we get to the same place. So Becky was arriving Wednesday morning with things to take care of during the day. Janet was arriving Friday morning because she didn't realize it started Thursday evening and she couldn't change her flight, but she had a plan. We were good. She got an Uber to the church, and then it was awesome. It worked really, really well. Pastor was going to meet up with us in Prim. How many know where Prim, Nevada is? A few do, a lot don't. Prim, Nevada is on the border between Nevada and California. So it's like Wendover for us. So you can stop and get your gambling in before you continue. And it's almost 2/3 of the way through the trip. A little more than half anyway. So we were scheduled to arrive in Anaheim on Wednesday, October 4th. We left home on Tuesday afternoon, had reservations to stay in Prim. Wednesday morning around 7 o'clock, after not being able to sleep, being somewhere unfamiliar, all of that fun stuff. 7 in the morning, my phone rang. I had been sound asleep. Pastor Becky landed in LA and wanted to know what the plan was. I reminded her that check-in was at 4, and we would let her know as we got closer. So the note here, and I have it in my notes just in case I forgot to mention it. The note here is that somebody was waiting for us and depending on us, and I take that stuff seriously. I tend to get uptight when things don't go the way I expect them to. And you hear the giggles because they've seen this. They've experienced this, the uptight Karina. So it's true. It happens. So we had breakfast, got all packed up, got on the road. We were scheduled to arrive around 3. We were making good time. We should have missed most of rush hour traffic. Probably check in a little bit early. I mean, check-in's at 4. They should probably let us check in at 3. I was feeling good about it. We were following the map on the phone, and Pastor was following us. It's a really good system because Pastor can't work the phone and drive the car at the same time. So with 2 of us, it works out really, really well. He just has to keep us in sight. About 30 miles from Anaheim, we ran into trouble. One of our exits was coming up, so we were in the lane next to the slow lane. Didn't want to be in the slow lane because traffic was not very nice. And you never knew when that whole lane was going to exit and you wouldn't be able to get out. So we stayed next to it. Traffic was slowing, so we slowed with it when the truck made a weird noise. It started running rough and seemed to lose power. I told Kay I was scared. So I hit the flashers, pulled through the first gap I could see, and pulled off into the emergency lane. Pastor was still right behind us. Within 5 minutes, we had a white roadside assistance truck pulled up behind him. The nice young man told me that they weren't allowed to tow us to a shop or, you know, do anything special, but it was his job to get us off the freeway to keep traffic flowing. Great system, by the way. Although it did take quite a while for him to get the paperwork and all of the stuff set up. So after about an hour, we got to a park and ride lot where I was welcome to leave the truck at my own risk. It's like a carpool. People stop for carpools and for these emergency things, and there's cars parked all over the place. And sure enough, there's an empty spot, and there's glass on this side and glass on that side. I'm like, oh, somebody's windows got broken out. Okay, let's take everything valuable out of the truck. So we did. There was a field on one side. You can see the field there. Then there was the lot on this side, and then there's over like 5 or 6 lanes of road, there was a big shopping center. And if you were to go over the bridge, there was a Target, something familiar. In the next picture, there's the nice young man. His name was Nicholas, getting ready to unload my poor beastie off the tow truck. I was trying to find the timeline so I could tell the story accurately. It's another one of those uptight things I might have. If I'm going to tell it, I want to get it right. So I was looking through my phone, and I found a text message to Becky at 3:52. Remember, check-in was at 4, and that's what I told her, telling her that we were having some technical difficulties with the truck. She was hanging out at the church because she had run her errands and done what she needed to do, and the church was open, and she had no place else to go, so she was at the church. She asked if we needed her to come get us. Well, we still had pastors, so we were covered. Aside from that, we happen to be very blessed. We have family in Southern California. So I called my uncle around 4:15, thinking he would have the most rational first response. My aunt has been known to get excited and walk in circles, not knowing what to do with herself. So I thought, okay, I'll call my uncle and we'll see. We'll start there. He was working, asked if I'd called my aunt. So back and forth and back and forth. By 5:10, we had everything loaded in Pastor's car, and I was ready to call my aunt. Let me add that we pack a lot of stuff to be gone for a week. Because we know we're going to be there for a week. We take groceries. We travel with bedding now that Kay has allergies, and suitcase and overnight bag. And the stuff that I keep in my truck, I have this cute little tote box with the jumper cables and the first aid kit. And so there's a lot of stuff. Fortunately, Pastor's car is a lot bigger on the inside than it looks on the outside, and everything fit. Because remember, he has his own stuff to be gone for several days. Since I was so stressed out and we were a little overheated from the warm California weather, we ended up at the Starbucks inside of the Target over the bridge. We got, I think, lemonade, something to cool off, found a relatively quiet corner to make phone calls and wait for phone calls. My aunt and uncle had been talking back and forth because my uncle worked with someone who lived in Anaheim, asking them if they had a shop or if they knew of somebody and all these kind of stuff. The end result was a plan. I always feel better with a plan. There can be bumps in the road, and there usually are, but as long as there's a plan, there's a way to go. There's a map, basically. So the plan was to continue to the timeshare, get checked in, and my aunts would pick me up in the morning to go back to the truck and call AAA for a tow. Once there was a plan, Pastor Becky didn't have to wait much longer. We headed to our temporary home. And I think we made it there around 6. So 3 hours later than I wanted, or than we planned, 2 hours later than we should have been there. Not unreasonable, considering. And honestly, once we had the plan, I felt so much better. There had been some confusion about when the conference started. So my gracious aunt was going to pick me up at 6 in the morning so we could take care of business and still make it to the conference by 9. Although the registration page said Thursday morning, thankfully, it turned out to be Thursday evening. So that was a lot less pressure. I didn't have to be ready to go at 6 in the morning. I don't think I got up till 9. No, I was ready by 9. Kay and I played the divide and conquer game. I went with my aunts to take care of the truck and get it towed to the shop where Aunt Mary and Uncle Mel take their cars. Kay and Pastor went grocery shopping and set up house for the week. And Pastor Becky was off to a missionary retreat. By Wednesday afternoon, I had an initial quote. Are you ready? At an initial quote of $3,689. After catching my breath, I told the shop to go ahead. We had to have a way home. And remember all that stuff we packed? We had to be able to get it all back. So as I understand it, here's basically what happened. The spark plug in my engine blew out, the top and bottom. This was my California souvenir. I got to bring that home. So on the left there is a regular intact spark plug. Next to it is what the shop pulled out of my truck. You can see the little L-shaped thing on the top is gone, and it blew out the bottom piece. Not only that, but the mostly melted rubber parts there are the boot, something that holds a spark plug in place. And even more fun, I don't know if you can see them real clear, but there's these little metal coil pieces. They apparently go around the spark plug. You can see them in this one, but they're not in this one. So all of the pieces went inside the engine, the piston, and all of that fun stuff. So in my opinion, it was a good thing we stopped when we did, because it sounded like we could have caught on fire. So the part that Kay referenced about being the most expensive trip, we don't really want to dwell on this because that's not the point. The heart of the story is the people. And you remember that Becky had things to take care of when she landed. After she took care of business, she was hanging out at the church. So she was there on the phone. People are asking what's going on. She was having conversations with people. Lots of people had suggestions. We ended up going with the family plan because when you have a family as great as mine, you know you can depend on them. But on Sunday, after the conference, we got this card. Cute little owl, which I thought was fun. Handmade card with cash in it. In the inside, I know it's hard to see. It says, "For those unexpected expenses, love you." There was never a church announcement. There was nothing specifically mentioned. We had a few discreet conversations where we gave vague answers. Didn't think we needed to burden anyone with the details. And yet, we got an envelope with cash in it. No signatures, no names, nobody to pinpoint, nobody to call out, and ultimately nobody to thank personally. But what there is kindness, love, generosity, and a story. I was able to walk into the shop on Monday with $600 in cash and a story of how wonderful God's people are. I had a story to share, and I started by sharing it with the store manager. He seemed pretty blown away. "What? You mean these people just..." Yeah, they did. I don't know if I can express how humbling of an experience that was, and still is. It's a personal example of people living out Scripture. I mean, we read it in the books, right? But how often do we see it lived out unless we know what the book says? So putting that together, we got to live it. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That's some kind of love, isn't it? As a result, we get to live out another verse. We get to live out another verse. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Every time I read that or hear it, I hear music. I'm sure it has something to do with that song. The next sentence. "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those who redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." The biggest takeaway from the experience is that if it had to happen, if that spark plug was going to fall apart, The circumstances couldn't have been any better. We truly felt redeemed from the hand of the foe once we had time to step away from it and look back at it, which happened very quickly, by the way. It makes me think we're doing something right, since Galatians 6:7 says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Church talk is reap what you sow. I liked this translation, though. We try to plant generously, and in this case, I feel like we had a great harvest. I broke it down into bullet points. Wish you could see my notes. We were 30 miles away from our destination, not stuck somewhere in the desert, not isolated anywhere. Pastor was following us. We were able to load up his car and get to where we were going. Emergency assistance got us off the freeway to a fairly safe parking lot. I had family close by to call on. Once we had a plan, the stress melted away. AAA towed for free. Aunt and uncle used a shop across the street from their condo. My aunt went to check on the progress. I had called my mechanic, and my mechanic called the California shop, and they had a conversation. And I don't know if the shop manager mentioned something to my aunt, but something had to have been mentioned, because she told me that she went to check on the truck, and she was talking to him, and he said something, and she's like, "Well, I don't blame her. I would have called for a second opinion, too. I'm sure she wanted to be sure she wasn't getting ripped off." And I can imagine that's exactly when her hands went on her hips and her head started swinging. Between Pastor D and Pastor Becky, we had two cars, so there was no shortage for commuting. We were able to enjoy All Nations Gathering, knowing that God was working things out. Romans 8:28 tells us, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Now, who's called? Those of us who love God. Absolutely, we're called. So he can make it work. We have to trust him. Another bullet point is that God's people were unexpectedly generous. 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us, "But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We believe that we are going to rebound from the financial hit. It's right there in the scripture. He gives us the victory. On our way home, I took some time to draft some notes because I knew I'd be sharing the story at some point. And I didn't want to lose the heart of it. You know, if you wait too long, you forget. And my notes weren't fantastic, but they captured what I wanted to capture so that I was able to pull it all back together. As part of the drafting process for a message, I remembered a Kindle book that I found a while back. It's called The Prayer Warrior's Ultimate Handbook by a guy named Adam Hoag. While I was browsing, I found some devotional and prayer treasures that fit nicely with this whole story. He said, "When we grow in love, we also learn to grow in kindness. Love and kindness go hand in hand. To show kindness requires us to see need and fulfill it. It requires us to be hospitable. Hospitality and kindness give a person a reputation. Kindness is something we should always be growing in. A little bit of kindness can go a long way. It refreshes a weary soul and encourages a person to go and do likewise. Kindness sparks a fire in a person's heart. It inspires them to do good and not evil. Take the time to grow in loving kindness. Love covers a multitude of sins, and kindness leads us to repentance. It can save the unbeliever and encourage the believer." I know I was encouraged. Along with the devotional thoughts, there was an included prayer and answer, I was surprised to find. The prayer: "Lord, I commit myself to having a servant's heart. Make my heart like yours. Please open my eyes to see those in need around me and give me what is necessary to deliver them. Work in me and through me that you may be glorified. I surrender to your guiding hand in my life and devote myself to this forever. Teach me how to love like you. I want to honor you in all things." The Lord's answer: "Love is the substance of who I am. Without love, you can never know me. I am love, and because I have loved you, you are saved. Nothing could please me more than for you to love your brethren. So take care of them and nurture them. Not just the ones you know, but love everyone and tend to their needs. Love your enemies. Didn't you see me pray for my enemies when I was crucified by them? Remember that I was crucified for you while you were yet my enemy. While you still walked in sin, I loved you. Kay and I have been doing this church thing here for almost 13 years now. And there are days or situations that cause us to feel like newbies, like we don't know anything and we have no idea what's going on. And then we have days that feel like we finally have a grasp on what maturity in Christ might look like. Unfortunately, there's no shortcut, and each day brings new struggles. You know the whole you'll grow in wisdom thing? It's kind of like getting gray hair. It comes slowly, and it happens in time. Of course, you could dye it, but I read something on Facebook that said, I don't have gray hair, I have wisdom highlights. I will take the wisdom highlights because that's how it feels some days. So since there's no shortcuts, what do? Proverbs 3:5 offers a great reminder. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's a vital step, but to gain even some of God's understanding, we need to spend time in his word. Otherwise, how do we know what it says? Another prayer from the book says this, Lord, I rejoice in the hope you give. I hold on to your promises and believe them. And again, how do you know what those promises are? You have to open the book, read to find the promises. I believe that you will save me and that no matter what, you're always good. I also believe that you're my salvation in everything. Even when I cannot see, I will still believe because hope comes from that which is not seen. And this is the part that Kay's going to like. Joy gives us strength. When we rejoice in hope, it gives us strong faith. When we remember God's faithfulness, how he has been faithful, how he is being faithful, and how he always will be because of his promises, we are strengthened in faith. It's good stuff, isn't it? Yes. Psalm 9:1 says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the wonderful things you have done. I will tell. Tell the stories. Tell the stories of God's goodness and faithfulness. And remember, God very often acts through people. And we don't always recognize that. I mean, you can know it here, but I forget when I see people until after. Oh, wait, how did they know? What made them ask? What? The inspiration comes from somewhere. Don't dwell on the negative stuff. Trust God. Believe that he wants the best for his kids because we are all his kids. Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. He is always on our side and he's always looking out for us and he wants the best for each of us. From Colossians, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And in Jesus' own words from John 15, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. This is a picture of people who love each other. It was our small vacation family. Pops there in the middle. Pastor Becky, Pastor Janet, and us. It was our small vacation family. And I'm convinced that God gives us people to learn from and people to teach because God is all about relationship. Because it's when we're in relationship that we're able to learn and grow. Some days are great, some days are a struggle, but every day is an opportunity. God gives us people to love all the time. Do you think we can love like Jesus? Yes. I love the yeses. I do. I love the enthusiasm. I know I can't do it on my own. There is no way. In my own strength, there are good days and bad days. But loving like Jesus is something to work toward, and I need help. Fortunately, saying yes to Jesus means Holy Spirit dwells on the inside. And as the helper, he is the one who makes sure we aren't walking this path alone. The inner voice of correction should be familiar to all of us. There's always that nagging, should have, wait, was I supposed to? I don't know how many times we've encountered people, smiled, said hi, and kept going, and then later thought, oh, wait, I should have said, and I think we struggle to listen because we're not used to it, even still. But we're getting better. We're definitely getting better at being obedient. And somewhere in the Old Testament, it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. We need to take that time. We need to be quiet and still. We need to listen. So I have one final prayer from my ultimate handbook. Lord, make me a light to all those around me. Shine your light through me as I commit myself to becoming an instrument of your love. I want to be a blessing in everything I do. I want to be an example of who you are and a reflection of your heart. Open my eyes to the needs of those around me. Show me how to walk in love toward everyone I encounter. Open my heart up so I can continually portray yours. I want to be the personification of your love and all that you are. And there's a reason I chose this picture for my background. We need to be planting those seeds of love, even when we don't feel like it sometimes. Because the seeds we plant are going to be the harvest we reap. And I pray that we all keep in mind what comes next. In Jesus' name.